Blog Talk Radio.
Better late than never. Hey, race fans. It's the Checkers or Rikers show on the Speedway Anywhere podcast, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, as well as live in-studio video on Facebook Live on facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Add yourself to that page and follow the show for show updates and speed bits throughout the week and weekend. Speedway Anywhere. It's your all-inclusive motorsports show and maybe even some multi-sports too. And God, it's exciting in Minnesota right now for that. You can also call in 917-889-2053 during the live show or interact on Facebook Live on the live show chat. It's right there on the side of the screen if you're tuned in on Facebook Live. Again, that's 917-889-2053. That is my studio line. We're typically live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, even though that's not the case tonight. Ran a little behind getting going, but I'm here, you're here, we're here, and let's get the show started. It's Thursday, June 6th, so we'll be doing a brief recap of last weekend for NASCAR Cup and Xfinity, as well as ARCA at Pocono. It was a doubleheader Saturday and Sunday for the IndyCar Series in the Detroit Grand Prix. We also had NHRA at Route 66 Dragway in Chicago as well. Got some interesting speed bits to cover, but I think the news on Tuesday about Ross Chain takes top news. I got to shut something off on my screen, and here it all goes. I hate dead air. I really hate dead air, and I don't understand why these AdSense things keep popping up on my screen, and I don't have a lot of time tonight. So anyways, the interesting news, the speed bit about Ross Chastain to cover is, for those that don't know, every driver in the top three NASCAR divisions has to select which series they'll run for points at the beginning of the year. Now we found out you can change over at some point. If you have a winning cup but are running for points in Xfinity, your win does not qualify you for a win you're in for the cup championship. This has not happened yet, but it has in the other few series. Now that I can focus, that stupid little box quits popping up. So unless you're running for points in that division, your win doesn't qualify you for the championship. Case in point, Ross Chastain has a win in trucks. Kyle Busch has wins in all three series. Chastain began the year racing for points in Xfinity. He now has switched his points as of last Tuesday. He changed his point status to the truck series and no longer has point status in Xfinity. His win in trucks does not count toward the championship that he got at Kansas. He wasn't eligible for truck points at that point. No pun intended. Also, he has to get into the top 20 in series points, even if he has a win from here on out before the showdown begins in September. If you find it confusing, don't feel bad. This is unprecedented, and I had to read through it a few times to make sure I get it right. Take, for instance, Kyle the Bushwhacker. Thing keeps popping up in the corner of my screen. I got to catch up in my notes. But yeah, if you find it confusing, don't feel bad. I'm still waiting for more surprises as far as that goes. From here on out, Ross Chastain will earn points in the truck series. His points in the Xfinity series are now forfeit. And even if he had a win in the Xfinity series, that would be forfeit as well. But if Kyle Busch goes out and runs in, what's he got, like 4 wins? In Xfinity, 5 wins in the truck series, but he marked his application at the beginning of the year to run for points in Cup. And that's sorry, I'm reading ahead in my notes here. Kyle Busch wouldn't step down to another division, but I'm saying if he did. Austin Dillon, by the way, he's ran on a lot of truck races. So let's also mention that Ross Chastain is the only driver to enter all events across the three series, the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Truck Series in 2019. He chose to step down to the trucks, and now he's got to get a win. He's got to get himself up to 20th in points right now, and like sometime before September, if he's going to qualify for the championship in the truck series. So he'll have to qualify on time, I've found out. I thought there was some owner points involved in the truck that he's moving to, in the number 38. He's been driving in the number 45 in the Gander World Truck Series so far in 2019. I don't think it's going to be an issue. He'll make time. He'll get it qualified. It's a story to watch and a story the truck series seriously needs. I got to look at something here. All right. I got people joining in on live chat as far as the Facebook Live. I got to take a look back at the Blog Talk Radio site and make sure I don't have any calls. I don't at this point. And bring back my teleprompter. So, keep in mind, yes, the Ross Chastain news is very exciting. And the Truck Series is joining the Indy Series at Texas this weekend. But so is a certain name that you might have heard of, and that is Greg Biffle. The Biff is back this weekend. So I used to be on Team Biff, but now that Ross Chastain's there, I'm on Team Ross. That's going to be a lot of fun to follow between now and September before the Truck Series Championship begins. Let's see. Indy races its second oval of 2019 at Texas in conjunction with the Truck Series. I think the series forgot how to run road courses after being at Indy when it went to Detroit after its first oval at Indy. The series ran only road courses leading up to Indy, including the Infield Grand Prix at Indianapolis for the first events of 2019. More on that in a bit. I'm going to skip ahead here. We're going to go into the Cup Series. It's become obvious to me why next year's Pocono Cup races need to run their doubleheader. In case you don't know, Pocono will be running two races back-to-back, Saturday and Sunday, and they will be shortened races. I'm not sure what the whole rules are going to be or the actual miles of the race, but the action has no action at Pocono. Now we get to see them come back in like 6 weeks for their second race there this year. This will most likely be Pocono's final time hosting two separate weekends. And after next year, it will probably be the last time having two races on the calendar period at the Cup level. The track has been lackluster for years, and the races had become reduced to 400 miles from their original 500. Just to reduce the agony that is an otherwise kind of cool, unique track, but it's not entertaining. It's really not, especially with the new rules, draft pack, whatever. So those long straights make it even worse. They're probably the longest straights in the business. But hey, it has produced a few historic moments and some spectacular wrecks and a few pieces of history where drivers have got their first wins, by the way. It's one of the few tracks, if not the only track, where the drivers were shifting besides the road courses. It's also produced a handful of injuries. Unfortunately, IndyCar has been fatal there. I don't think they belong on those long straights. I'm going to say Pocono is most likely to lose race beginning in 2021 over any other track that has two events. So to the recap, it was Kyle Busch got back to victory lane after a long drawn out Pocono event. He passed Ken Boyer, who ended up fifth after the final restart. Brad Keselowski edged out another top two in second. Eric Jones has shown he is not just a flash in the pan. He pulled off a third place finish at the end. All those drivers, by the way, Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, Brad Keselowski, and who else was it? Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott finished fourth. So they all passed Clint Bowyer to get and maintain that top five. So that's another Hendrick driver of Chase Elliott, who finished in the top five. Clint Bowyer held on for top five in fifth after he took only two tires on the final caution before the restart and fell four spots where Kyle got by him. I'm saying too much ahead in my notes here. Once again, 917-889-2053. I'm going to go back to the board. Still nothing there. So here we go on, bring the teleprompter back up. So there's your top five at Pocono. As far as points, Kyle Busch got his fourth win of the year. Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski each have three. Denny Hamlin has two. Chase Elliott and Joey Logano each have one for a total of the 14 wins to lock them into the championship. So there's your six drivers who are locked in. First up based on points is still Kevin Harvick, followed by Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer for the top 10. Add in another B name, as in Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer, Kurt Busch, throw in Alex Bowman, who is 11th in points. So he's still got a shot at this. I mean, after his three in a row of top two finishes. And so the top 16 is still volatile, and now Jimmy Johnson is outside looking in as he sits 17th. It's been over 2 years since JJ has been first to the checkers, not counting his win at Daytona earlier in a non-points paying event in the Clash race at the beginning of the year. So you can call it a victory all you want. I'm kind of on the fence about that one. So we got a handful of people tuning in, chiming in, and I'm going to get to a few of the comments from them in just a little bit. It's been over 2 years for Johnson, so not in good shape. Somehow Kyle Larson is dangling in the top 16, and it's all because of the stage points. Larson has three stage wins in the cup races. So this is what's keeping him inside the top 16, if you want to look at it like that. He's been inside the top 10 as well without winning stages, and he's able to keep up enough points, whether he's second, third, fifth, sixth, you know, all the way to 10th, he's gaining bonus points. Kevin Harvick last year, Kevin Harvick went into the championship showdown, and if it wasn't for his stage wins, he would have been in some trouble. He really would have. So Cup Series is headlining Michigan on Sunday, and I think we're looking at another draft pack snooze fest like Fontana was. They're similar tracks, and I pray we get some last second rule change to alleviate that, I guess is the best way I can put it. I'd rather see some real racing on a 2 mile and not something reminiscent of what we used to only see at Daytona and Talladega. With that said, I'll put my money on the Penske cars, including Ryan Blaney, by the way. He's ran great. He just hasn't finished the job. We might be looking at a seventh winner this year at that rate. Maybe even Alex Bowman. I'm going to switch back over to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to hit the bumper music, and we'll be right back.
saying, I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too. You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Xfinity ran on Saturday for a race that was more entertaining than the Sunday Cup race, if you ask me. Cole Custer picked up his third win of 2019 when he passed Tyler Reddick on the final lap. Remember that Custer took until the end of 2018 before getting a win. His previous was at Homestead in the final race of 2017. So Reddick, the 2018 champ, finished second to Custer. Chase Briscoe in third. Ryan Preece, non-points eligible, took fourth. And Christopher Bell in fifth. The points currently are Custer with three wins. Christopher Bell also with three. Tyler Reddick with two, and Michael Annette with one after his win at the beginning of the year at Daytona. As far as points, Austin Cindric and Justin Allgaier round out the top six behind the four guys with the wins this far this year. Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Noah Gregson, Justin Haley round out that top 10, by the way. So, Xfinity will run Saturday at Michigan, and getting down to that time where if you're not a lock for the 12 drivers for the championship chase in September, it's time to make up some ground. Ross Chastain has withdrawn from the points in the Xfinity series as he moved his point setters to trucks. So there's one less threat. As far as Xfinity series points. But no time to get complacent just based on that. It's go time. I don't care where that stands as far as where you are looking in or looking out in that top 12. The ARCA series ran last Friday, opening up the weekend for the Xfinity and Cup Series at Pocono. Ty Majeski, who isn't running full-time, took back-to-back wins at Pocono after winning in the ARCA Series the previous week at Charlotte. So good on him. He doesn't have a full-time ride, though, for the series. So I think it's a shame he can't get on board to run the rest of the year with the team. Maybe he will. Who knows? Majeski was part-time last year in the Xfinity Series in the number 60 at Roush Racing. So I question this, whether or not this was a good move. But Roush, as mentioned early in the year, was shutting down the coveted ride of the number 60 to focus on their Cup program. Speaking of, Ryan Newman, he's put some life back in the number 6 in Cup. He's been dabbling up there in the top 5 and whatnot. So I think he's probably kind of could have been a winner. We'll see as the year goes on. Let's finish up this ARCA news here. But back to the meeting. Riley Herbst, who has been greatly competitive this year, took second at Pocono. Kristen Ekkes took third. Rafael Lissard. Sorry about that. If you're listening or one of your fans is. Rafael Lessard in fourth and Brett Holmes in fifth. Points for ARCA after eight races this year is Michael Self in first, Brett Holmes in second. Third is Travis Braden. Kristen Eckes, after having to sit out, is up to fourth. He was top dog before he had to miss a race, or was it two? Joseph Graff rounds out the top five as far as points. ARCA joins NASCAR this weekend on Friday at Michigan. And for my Minnesota dwellers, keep in mind the series is coming to Elko Speedway July 13th, joined by none other than young female phenom, Haley Deegan. So I know that she's going to draw a lot of fans. Actually, I think that race overall draws a ton of fans, but it kind of sweetens the deal when someone like Deegan is showing up. I'm not sure of a few other big names, so I'll withhold that news till it's confirmed. I know there are some big names on the block there. I see we got Captain Kurt on hold. I see we have a handful of my friends tuning in, and then I'm going to get to NHRA news, and then we'll bring in Captain Kurt. So NHRA ran at Route 66 Speedway in Joliet, Illinois last week for their ninth event of this year. God, how time flies. Steve Torrence once again took top field over Mike Salinas. This was after Salinas had just watched his daughter, Gianna, take a scary ride in the second round of pro bike. She overcorrected trying to avoid the center line and went for a barrel roll. Her bike went for a barrel roll. This was her first time advancing, where she squared off against Hector Arana, but it wasn't meant to be. She later said that the only damage was to her leathers. She wasn't sure about her bike. So, hey, good on her. She walked away, and she made many mentions that it's a lesson learned. She was trying to avoid crossing the center line, and by overcorrecting, she headed straight for the wall. Thank God she didn't hit the wall. She overcorrected, and she would have been better off just crossing the line. Less damage on her, less damage on the bike. And I can't imagine being on one of those pro bikes and doing what they do. You're not enclosed. You're not encaged. So, however, Karen Stauffer, she made it to the final against Matt Smith. In pro bike, by the way, Matt Smith took the win in pro bike. Smith also ran against another woman of horsepower, his wife, Angie. I'm going to bring Kurt in right now because we like to talk about the whoppers.
Well, Deegan's their Big Mac right now. So
I'm talking about NHRA, but yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I consider if you race a car, you're a woman. You're a whopper now, and that includes if you're a woman getting a speeding ticket right now, you're a whopper. So, women of horsepower. So,
whopper meaning W H O P.
Don't speed, people. Don't speed. Saying that right now.
Not sure where that comes from, but that's okay. So, hey, there's a new girl on the block in pro bike as well as Angie Smith and Gianna Salinas. Karen Stauffer, she's fifth in points. So she made it to the final against Matt Smith, and Matt Smith took the win after racing his wife in the semifinals. Can you imagine Thanksgiving? Well, not Thanksgiving, just dinner, period, when you get back home. So, funny car went to Tommy Johnson against Robert Height. Height had to beat the boss in these semis. So he beat the boss, John Force. So he's still, John Force is still looking for that elusive 150th career final. And Robert Height, I'll talk about points in a second here. Pro stock car, it was a surprise when Erica Enders red-lighted in the final. She made it to the final. And Bo Butner's winning streak was snapped by Greg Anderson in round two. So it was Derek Kramer against Enders. Enders red-lighted. Enders was the beneficiary of Erica's red light. Oh, God, I got jokes about red lights. Got to save until later. So the points are, as it stands for the NHRA, last year's top field champ, Steve Torrance, is out front. He's made a huge comeback. I believe he's on his fifth win. Funny car, like I just mentioned, Robert Heights got that, even though he took a loss. Pro stock car has Matt Hines. I put Matt Smith. Actually, no, it's Andrew Hines. I need to learn my craft. Screw it. NHRA will head to Topeka at Heartland Motorsports Park tomorrow, June 7th through Sunday. I found this rather interesting as far as the NHRA goes. But yeah, Leah Pritchett, Brittany Force, didn't do so good. So much for the Whoppers. And then, of course, Erica Enders made it to a final. I think the last time I saw her in a final was up against our favorite Tanner Gray, who's moved on to stock car racing. So I'm switching over back and forth. All right, let's pull the notes back up and go to IndyCar. IndyCar was a massive disaster at the Detroit Grand Prix. It's like they forgot how to drive on road courses after coming off their first oval of the year at Indy in the Indy 500. Max Chilton. By the way, this is an interesting little speed bit. He's decided he will not race on ovals in the IndyCar series. He said, I would fear for my safety after all the flying parts. You know, if you ask me, after all the flying parts on road courses and cars flipping, rolling over each other in the road course turns, I would think that that's probably more dangerous. The last fatality was actually at Pocono, and when a part from a car up toward the front lost some parts, flew through the air, hit the driver in the helmet, and this after Dan Weldon and, you know, more history repeated. I do see his points, but IndyCar, although not making as many gains in safety as NASCAR, I do know that they have done relentless research and have pieces in place that make it safer, both for the drivers, the crews, the spectators. But with that said, though, Detroit was a disaster, and that was a road course. So nothing but caution after caution, and usually because there was at least two, if not three cars involved, we watched the field shrink. Detroit equaled eight races for 2019 in the IRL, being it was a doubleheader running back-to-back events Saturday and Sunday. And on Saturday, it was 2017 champ Joseph Newgarden in victory lane, followed by Alexander Rossi, who is as hot as it gets right now in the series. Takuma Sato, he's on a streak of third-place finishes after his third-place finish at Indy, and finished third in race one in Detroit. 2018 IRL champ Scott Dixon took Sunday's race after upsetting a few along the way, one being Rossi, by the way, sort of. Rookie Marcus Ericsson took second, and Will Power took third. Ericsson just announced he will be returning to the IndyCar Series in 2020. So I think he's going to be on top as far as rookie points by the end of the year. Rossi pulled off a top 5-2 on day number two. Points after eight races are 2017 champ Joseph Newgarden in first, Alexander Rossi in second, Indy 500 winner Simon Pagenaud in third, 2018 champion and Sunday's winner Scott Dixon is fourth, and then it's Takuma Sato rounding out the top five so far in 2019. Indy Racing League comes to Texas this Saturday night for only their second oval race of 2019. That'd be a great ticket with the NASCAR trucks opening the weekend on Friday. So, speaking of, truck is probably the biggest news of the week. Obviously, it's Ross Chastain subject, but it's also the Biff. Greg Biffle, he's coming back to the truck series at Texas in the Kyle Busch Motorsports truck that won almost everything it's been in this year in the Gander World Truck Series. But Chastain has a win, and a few others like Stuart Friesen are always a threat for the trophy. The last truck race was at Charlotte, leading up to the All-Star race. They raced that Friday, the day before. The last truck race was at Charlotte, where it was the final bushwhack in the trucks. So you will not be seeing Kyle Busch back in the truck series, at least until 2020. He's only eligible to run five races with his cup status. Kyle ran his fifth interloper race, so he's done. Hence, a good time for Chastain to make the move in points and for a win status. Chastain needs to make it into the top 20 for a win to even be eligible for a championship showdown. So we'll see. So who do you put your money on in truck? The KBM truck with Biff or the newborn energy of Ross Chastain? I want to go, oh boy, I'm team Ross all the way, but I still think Biff might get a better finish.
Personally, I'm going with Ross. Do like the guy, so, and the guy's had some endurance this year, so not only, of course, in doing multiple NASCAR series, so got to root for him and everything.
Folks, if you want to get in and chime in on any of this, 917-889-2053. We're going to be in a hurry to wrap up the show, hopefully by 10:30 Central Time. I got somewhere to be, as this show already has a late start. So for the trucks, Johnny Sauter and Austin Hill with one win each. And then it's followed out by the point standings. No one else has a win of the series regulars. So it's Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen, Brett Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, Matt Crafton, and Todd Gilliland. Those six drivers wrap up what would be the top eight if we were to start the championship showdown right now. So there's a guy with a target on his bumper, as far as Todd Gilliland. But it's actually Brandon Jones in the 20th spot. But Todd Gilliland, he's got the A spot in the points. And if it was start today, Todd Gilliland would be in. But if Chastain gets a win and can get past Jones, he will be looking at. I'm confused. I'm reading here and I don't get this message at all. He will be looking at a berth in the chase. But there are guys like Harrison Burton and Sheldon Creed too that he's got to work through, as well as others. It all starts this Friday for him, when the trucks open up the weekend at Texas. The IndyCars will be on track the following evening. This new Chastain thing is something to keep your eyes on. It's made the series more exciting. I can't wait to see the results after tomorrow. And if Chastain is just like revived, rejuvenated, something, and pulls off a win and only has to focus on the points, that'd be a benefit to him. So I'm not sure how many races Biffle will be running, but I was going to be Team Biff this Friday before I heard the news about Chastain. But now I got to be Team Chastain. I'm singing. Hey, have you seen that Friends episode when Ross's kid is going to school with Sting's kid? You know, from the police. Remember when Phoebe wanted Ross to get the tickets for her?
Yeah.
And she started singing something like, "Ross can get me the tickets. Ross can." So I'm just kind of like, I'm singing "Ross can," you know, like the old Roxanne song. I think Chastain in the truck series could pull this off. I really do. All right, let's plow through a bunch. We got about 9:45. K&N East hit Memphis Motorsports Park on Saturday, June 1st. Even though it was a short field of 14 cars, it was a star-studded with all of our faves. And then series regulars like Chase Cabaret, he took the win, and our boy Tanner Gray continues to click off those top threes. Right behind him was the young sensation, Sam Mayer, who at 15 years old pulled out a win at Bristol earlier this year, his first time there. Derek Kraus, he rounded out the top five. He's looking like he might just take East and West this year. And then Ty Gibbs, by the way, was runner-up to Chase Cabre. East Division points go Derek Kraus, Sam Mayer, Chase Cabre, Tanner Gray, and Matt McLaughlin. So K&N will be off until all the way out until July 20th at Loudoun. K&N West, last event was May 11th, where Derek Kraus, Tanner Gray, and pole sitter Brittany Zamora were pretty much the headlights. That was a double dip. That was a double header at Tucson. So as far as regional, I'm just plowing through this stuff. Elko, their ARCA event is July 13th. And like mentioned earlier, it's going to involve Haley Deegan, as well as I believe there's going to be a couple others, big names, by the way, who will be making appearances. NHRA comes to Brainerd August 15th through the 18th. So, hometown folks, if you ain't got your plans in place, it's time to make them. Also, speaking of hometown folks, I would love to make mention that our trying to find something here that our guests that we've had a few times, Jesse Preston, our resident bumper monster, he'll be running at Carper County Fair in the Demolition Derby Series and the other county fairs are kicking off. Matter of fact, pretty much as we speak, I believe we've already had some motocross going on. Sunday, we have a handful of demo derby events. There's a site, Minnesota MFCF.com. Minnesota Federation and County Fairs, you can look up what's going on at all of them if you want some good motocross action, demolition derby, amongst other things. I mean, truck tractor pull and all the above. So, woo! It's not even 10 o'clock. Central time, and I have managed to get all the way to multi-sports after my late start. Once again, 917-889-2053 if anyone wants to join. We're going to cut to bumper music here and give my voice a break, and then we're pretty much going to hand over the reins to Captain Kurt as we get through some more multi-sports. So, be right back.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. But that's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. We run like shit all day anyway.
You know, it's a good thing that I've been doing most of the talking because I just realized I did not have the Blog Talk conversation being fed through the Facebook Live conversation. So it looked like I was just talking to myself when I was making comments to you or whatever's called.
Well, the Twinkies won 5-4.
I just checked that. Yes.
Yep.
At least we didn't get swept.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, the Red Sox get to get back to their winning ways, too, now that they're done with the Yankees, who almost swept them. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what this is, but for some reason, when you're playing in your division, they choke them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they know you more, too, so.
When all is said and done, we only lost one game to them. We lost two, we gained one. So going into it, we only lost ground of one game. So that's not horrible. Anything else that's big and huge and
hockey? I didn't look at the latest news, didn't look at the latest news from the NBA Finals, and just the fact that my mind's just on baseball lately. The Gopher softball team.
The Bruins and whatever right now.
Yeah, the Bruins and the St. Louis's. And of course, the Gopher softball team is done, but give them credit. They made it to their first ever College World Series.
I have something closely related for Victory Lane tonight as far as that goes, but I'll save it till then. The St. Louis Blues is 2-1 over the Bruins, and they are down to less than 3 minutes in the third period. So, I don't know. The underdog, what do they got? I believe the season is split at 2 each. And tonight, this might be a go-ahead for the Blues. So,
yeah, that would be a story.
Once again, 917-889-2053. We're going through some multi-sports, but we still got a bit of motorsports to keep going with as well. There's that, and I'm on the wrong screen. Like I always say, I really need a producer. I do. So NHL Live as we speak. You never know. It's only 2-1. Bruins could still slip one in. We'll know in a little bit. I've been calling it, everyone's on this Game of Thrones craze. So between the Blues and the Bruins, I've been calling it the Game of Bloons. I don't know. I thought it was funny. It's, the Game of Bloons. So I'll go with it. I didn't get that from some local sports station personality. Like, I got accused of, by the way, of stealing bits. And
oh.
I do all my own homework. Matter of fact, I rarely, if ever, do I cite a paragraph or even a sentence when I'm preparing the show. So go ahead and say you heard that somewhere before. You didn't, because even when it's the same news, it could be the Bruins and the Blues, right? And
yeah.
If I quote the score, does that mean that I'm copying somebody else's material? I think not. Let's see. You wanted... I have no idea where to even go with the NBA thing. But... Belmont. Belmont's coming up Saturday. It's rather irrelevant. I mean, it has been since the debacle at Kentucky. So there is no Triple Crown to be had. And this being the third race. And I did talk about the Bodie Express bucking off the jockey coming out of the gate at Preakness. So I'm sure Bodie Express won't be there. The jockey probably, I mean, he's probably getting blamed for something he did too. Wouldn't you think? I mean, I would think that the jockey is just like a handler and didn't read the horse right. So... And like I talked about a while back, War of Will was my pick for Kentucky and didn't get it done. But War of Will won Preakness. It was pretty cool. I would brag yeah. about it, but I didn't put no money on them.
Money. Now, you can still brag about it. I mean, if you pick the winner. I mean, you know, that's what people should do. They should just say, I'm going to get my ass kicked. And that way, if you lose, you can just say, well, I was right. So.
Yeah.
One of the things though, I'm wondering if anybody ever picked the trifecta at the Indy 500, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, I'm sure that has to have happened, but I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't newsworthy. I don't remember hearing about it.
Bet you anything, though, the hardest thing would probably be to pick who finishes third. Might actually be the hardest thing of them all.
Well, even looking at this year with Pagenaud and Rossi, you didn't know who was coming across first.
Yeah.
Pagenaud put on the move. They said 1 1/4 laps. I'll have to take their word for it. Pagenaud on the move and got past Rossi. I don't think Rossi was anticipating that Pagenaud would have made the move that soon before the finish. So, and you know, Takuma Sato. He didn't make any move. He just kind of stayed there. And even if you were to bet on that final lap, right before the final lap, and just go for broke and make it a toss-up and say, I'm choosing Pagano or somebody else. I'm choosing Rossi. It's not even that sure of a bet going into that final lap. I mean, myself, I probably would have thought first and second we're going to battle each other, and Takuma Sato would have made his move. Well, those guys have it out. So I would have chose the third place driver, but I would have been wrong. All right. Let's see. Where are we at? We're at Dude Who's Your Car. Speaking of Indy, our cars wrecked each other. So our cars wrecked each other at Indy. And they, who did we choose? Graham Rahal and Scott Dixon?
Yeah.
Yes. So it was Graham Rahal. We got somebody jumping in late. Holy crap. So Mike Huseman, Sean Upgard, Paul Hansen, Andy Lasky, too. I've rarely done a show this late, so we are getting to the end where we wrap.
Wow, the old men are staying up late there.
The old men.
Think about that.
Well, hope you heard that, Houston. I think you're my age. You're a little younger than me.
Oh, I'm talking about the Purdy's and that, you know, so.
Let's see. Let's do a quick little peek on the game of balloons. And the final is 2-1. So the St. Louis Blues took it. So
that would be an interesting story.
What's that?
That would be an interesting story if they could win this. Because at the halfway point in the season, they had the worst record in the NHL.
Well, like I said, going into this, the Blues were 0-13 in Stanley Cup Finals. So, yeah, I mean, as far as championship teams, I would have easily went with the Bruins. But, you know, it's the first time for everything. Let's see. I'm going to switch back over to you. Still got a handful of people watching in. I always hate that stupid counter on the screen. It doesn't really mean anything. It just means how many have looked in. All right, dude, who's your car?
Oh, God. You know what? It ain't going to happen. So I am going to go with, you know, if it was 1999, you would right now, you'd probably be calling him Mr. Provisional. Haven't even thought of him one little bit lately. Jimmy Johnson. Why the hell not?
I don't think Jimmy Johnson wasn't running the series yet in 99. Tony Stewart.
I'm saying if he was, and if it was 99, you would be calling him Mr. Provisional because that's all he would get if it was 1999 right now. And
here's one huge difference. Johnson can qualify. Darryl Waltrip, Mr. Provisional, could not qualify and had to run.
I know I wanted to get you on that, but I couldn't.
All right, so you're going JJ.
Yeah.
I said on a previous segment, I think it's going to be somebody out of the Penske camp. You know, Logano, Keselowski,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
the other guy. Penske does not suck at Michigan. So here's why I'm going to go out on a limb and choose Ryan Blaney.
Hmm.
So that's my standing on that. Michigan has been a great track for Fords overall, but I'm not going to choose a Roush car. There's the other side of me that kind of thinks that Stuart Haas cars, you know, who are winless this year, might just pull off a win finally. So there's another Ford camp, but I'm sticking to my guns. I'm going to Ryan Blaney for Michigan. Not really a dark horse, not really a white horse. So. All right. We're gonna put a wrap on this pretty soon here. Not the kind of wrap that you're thinking about putting on. And I'm not talking about music either. Final laps. Ari Leyendijk, the Flying Dutchman. What baseball player was also called the Flying Dutchman?
Oh! I know this.
Don't feel bad. That one guy just lost on Jeopardy recently, too.
I know this. It's not Blylevin.
Long before.
Yeah, I know. It's not ringing a bell with me right now.
All right. I'm hungry.
Was it a Wagner?
Nope.
No.
All right. I'm hungry, and I got to make sure I have enough time to get to
okay.
Some food before 11 o'clock, and I got plenty of time. It's only 10:09, so I'm going to give you the answer. It's Ty Cobb.
Oh, yeah, you know, not my favorite player throughout history, although one of the best ever, I mean, so...
All right. Did you know that this is the best show ever?
I didn't go that far, but hey, nothing's good if I'm on it, so.
This is the best show ever. Tribute. Remember that song by Jack Black, Tenacious D? This is the best song ever. It's not the best song ever. But it's a tribute. And so tonight's show is dedicated to the best show ever. Because this is the best show ever. Tribute. Yeah, I've been saving that stupid joke for like 2 weeks. It is officially the best show ever. Tribute. Will there be more tributes? Maybe somebody will make a tribute to our tribute. And... oh, the stupidity that goes on here. Oh, God, I need a cigarette. my Nicometer is going off like nuts. So I already brought up, I spilled the beans on the Ross Can joke, Ross Chastain and the Friends episode, and combined them into one. But Victory Lane must go out to my friend's daughter. She's daring to venture into podcasting. I'll share her info with you all when we get it off the ground. I'm proud of her. She wants to start a podcast, new show dedicated to female sports from young ones all the way to pro. Doesn't have to be Lindsey Whalen and Gophers. Doesn't have to be the new team of Simona and Sylvia. Doesn't have to be, you know, all the whoppers, as we call them. I think there's more success in the female camp in auto racing than some of the males lately. So, but yeah, good job to her when she gets her show up and off the ground. You can bet I will be sharing it like a can't come up with a creative word for that. But yeah, good job to her.
Cool.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap. And I'm going to get some dinner going here of the microwave type. We'll be back on Monday. I promise this time. We'll be back on Monday at 7 p.m. To recap Michigan. Oh, God, Texas. Texas double dipping with the Indy Series and the Truck Series. NHRA at Kansas. K&N West in Colorado. So we'll have a full crop of things to cover before the Cup Series, I think, is taking the week off after that, but there will still be a lot going on. So hey, for Captain Kurt and myself, Crew Chief Q, we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right.